The whole community is in an uproar, weeping and grumbling. They're crying out, God, where are you? We're all going to die. And they begin to organize and to attack the leaders. Suppose you're one of those leaders. What are you going to do? David faced Goliath. And I don't think that you and I can really, in our minds, try and recreate what that must have been. You know, I think I sort of had always had this idea, and right or wrong, that David, you know, he had this gusto or something, and he was able to go out there and, I'll take on that giant. I don't know if it was quite like that. Or Moses standing before Pharaoh, telling him, let my people go. Time and time and time again. What would that be like? Elijah encountered the prophets of Baal. I didn't check. What was it? 450 of them or something like that? It was a lot. And they were all against him, and he stood alone. Peter and John were arrested, and they were standing before the Sanhedrin. That's a scary bunch of people when they have things in control. Paul was falsely accused, facing a death threat in his life. When your back is against the wall, when the odds are against you, when the pressure is on, when the flaming arrows are close, when the pain is intense, when the attack is at hand, then what? That's a quote I picked up somewhere. Turn with me, if you want to follow, to Numbers chapter 13. And I would like to look this morning at another Bible character that, for me, is just a very, I get excited about, Joshua. And I'd like to just bring out a few things from Joshua's life that I think we can all learn from. And while I clearly understand that this morning is focused on two men and two couples relating to church leadership, probably very few in this building this morning have no one following them. Even a child that has a younger sibling is leading. And so I think that as I speak, while I may be speaking more directly to some leadership things, that really does apply to all of us, and I think there's things that we can learn. Beginning at chapter 13, verse 27. This is the spies coming back from the land of Canaan and giving their report to Moses. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Those were the giants. That was the setting. And goes on. In verse 30, Caleb silences the people and says, let's go take it. But notice verse 31 says, but the men who had gone with him, we know the story, the other 10, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave a bad report. And then that little... I tried to disguise it a bit that I gave at the beginning. The people rose up against this idea of going and take, because there's the giants are there. It's too big. This can't happen. In fact, what is it? Verse 33, it says that we were like grasshoppers and they saw us that way. You can imagine a grasshopper. I'm assuming that was a bit stretched, but They felt very inadequate to go and conquer the land of Canaan. Now, Joshua and Caleb, they weren't part of that rebellion. But they suffered in the desert for the next 40 years, just like everybody else. What was needed for Joshua and Caleb, but focusing on Joshua, to live out those years? How do you and I handle such situations? I don't remember a lot of specific incidents, but I know that they happened in school when someone would do something, and then maybe there was a new rule, or there was even punishment that was given because one person did something and other people paid the price as well, or maybe sometimes even the wrong person. How do we deal with that kind? Well, Joshua had a challenge here. Let's move on to Numbers 27. Verse 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom the Spirit is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." And it goes on to explain Moses choosing, God telling Moses to go and choose Joshua and put him in his place in leadership. And verse 23, it says, "And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." And just a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 34, referring to Joshua. Verse 9 says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation where you needed to follow someone and they had really, really big shoes, if you know what I mean. Can you imagine being the man that's chosen to follow Moses? He had built quite a reputation by now. All the countries around there knew about the Israelites and the things that they accomplished, the things that they were doing, the enemies that they were destroying. And Joshua was called. God calls us all to be His people and to serve Him, and He calls some to be leaders in congregations like yours. And He calls in various ways. And I would like to suggest that we need to keep in mind that there's, and maybe more to this, but I think of it as in two parts to God's call. One is God's call on our lives as individuals. And an example would be that of Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and God strikes him down with light, and you know the story, and he's blind, and Ananias comes and speaks to him, and God tells Ananias that Paul is a chosen vessel of mine. He's chosen to do specific things. So Paul had this very personal call. And then shortly, he disappears off the scene. Not always sure how many years, but quite a number of years. 14, maybe more. Nobody hears about Paul. And then there's this mission work that's going on in Antioch. And this church is growing. And so the leaders in Jerusalem send Barnabas to go to Antioch and check the work out, and he gets there and gets involved, and there's big things happening, and he needs help. And he starts thinking, ah, Paul. I need Paul. And so here's the church then going and calling Paul to come and help in the work there. When I do work at leadership, and this is kind of interesting because last Sunday I did two licensings the same Sunday at Hammer Creek. And not often that we do two at the same time. But when I work at that, I always am interested and listen for, does this person have some sense at least that God is calling them to this work? Because I have worked with people who did not have that personal call. They were willing. I could give some names. They were called by the church. They were willing. But they would clearly say, I never really felt God calling me to be a pastor. I didn't really think that that's something that was going to happen for me. But they were willing. And what I have observed is when the going gets tough, and it does. I told some of the fellows I had a late meeting last night. I think it ended around midnight. And it wasn't an easy one. It was rather tough. But if I didn't have some sense that I am doing what God is calling me to, I would have quit long already. Why would I put up with that? Of course, there's those that have a personal call, and the church never calls, and they're frustrated too. I've related to some of those. Well, let's move on. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. If there was a text that I would say would be this passage. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Explains the boundary of that territory in verse 4. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now I mentioned earlier that Joshua was following Moses. What an formidable task to think, I am now going to take the place of Moses. I sort of remember that feeling almost 20 years ago, when I was put into the role of overseer and following the man that I was replacing. I think I knew that, what I'm going to say, and at least with my head knowledge. But what I want to say this morning, particularly to Doug and Galen, although Doug's been there, so maybe it isn't as much for him. You need to be the leader that God called you to be. And that's for all of us as well as we follow other people. You cannot imitate someone else and be successful at it. Yes, we can learn from others, but we can't try to be who we're not. So you need to be the leader that God has made you to be. You can't try to be like the one that you're replacing. So as we think of this call that Joshua had now to step up and take action and lead these people. What is God telling Joshua that he needed? What was going to be important for him as a leader to lead these people and divide the land as God had asked him to? I don't have the reference here. I just realized I left the blank to look it up and never did it. But there's a time when they were going to take Jericho, I believe it was, and Joshua's out there, and he comes to a certain place, and he sees a man standing there. And he asks this man, he says, are you for us or against us? And do you know what he answers? Neither. I'm the captain of the Lord's army. It depends on you, Joshua, whether I'm on your team or not. I think it's the same for us. We need to remember that what we're doing is God's work. And hallelujah, we get to participate. If you can grasp that, that God has this great program, this idea to save the world. And he says, come join me in what I'm doing. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Oh, that's where the account is. I'm sorry. That is the reference I was looking for. That's what I just referred to. Let's go to chapter 11. Verse 23. Kind of concluding this, it says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions, their tribes, and then the land rested from war. Like Joshua. Oh, actually, I want one more. That was Joshua's call, and he completed that. Now, Joshua also gave a challenge to the Israelites about this whole situation. Let's go to chapter 24 now, verse 14. And I'm jumping in the middle here, but it's kind of his wrap-up from his speech. And he says, now therefore fear the Lord. This is Joshua speaking to the Israelites. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served in the other side of the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served in the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then verse 31. This to me is a very fascinating verse. Think about what it says. It says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known him and the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Joshua led in such a way and lived such a life that even when he was gone, people continued to follow the Lord as long as there was people alive that remembered Joshua. And that was something that was guiding them. And so I would like to suggest we need to lead by example. We need to be the ones that take the first steps before we ask other people to follow. And can we grasp this idea that our legacy can live on after we're gone? He challenged these people to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, to turn from their ways of sin, That was a significant challenge. So what did Joshua need, as well as others, and even us today, when we think about leadership? What is it that this passage, beginning of the first chapter of Joshua, what is it that's needed? Well, maybe a couple of things. Courage. What we need today is men and women of courage. I find it interesting as I've worked in church life how some of the ebb and flow. But what's been happening in the last probably 4 to 5 years is we're beginning to hear the younger generation say, just step up and lead, when the church feels they can't find their way. In fact, I was sort of taken back by a man that would have very different views than mine. And we were in a meeting, and the leader was making some suggestions and proposals that I was very comfortable with, and I knew the other man was not comfortable with. And at the end of that, he said to the leader, he said, thank you for bold leadership. He said, I disagree with you, but thank for bold leadership. I said, wow, I'm not sure that I would have been able to say that if it had been flipped around. Courage is the ability to act in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Courage is often seen in the midst of conflict and struggle and seemingly impossible odds. Courage is not the ability to get a desired result by force of position or personality, but the wisdom to act when you have opportunity to be involved and let your service lend your service in significant and difficult situations. So, a question that I give to you this morning is, what is your call to courage? Where is your call to courage? What is God laying before you and saying, I will be with you. Be strong, be courageous, and do it. He also mentions the scriptures. Don't let this book leave you. It's something that must be part of your whole being, your whole life. Psalm 119, we know the verse, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Does the word of God have its proper place in your life, in my life? And so I share those things this morning and saying, let's be people of courage, understanding that God has promised, I believe we could put our name in this passage. It will be different things, different places, different situations, but that God would say the same thing to us. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If they would write a book about your life after you're gone, what would you hope was in that book? Or maybe something that they would put on your tombstone. How would you want to be remembered? Is it possible that when you're gone, as long as there's people living that know you, that will have an impact on their life? And even today, we often talk, we go back and talk about people that are gone many years and the impact and the influence that they still have today. And so my challenge is, be all of us as we lead, particularly to Doug and Galen and other leaders here, take courage, believing that God is going to lead you, and trust that your influence and your legacy will continue to be effective in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way you have continue to provide leaders for your people. Thank you for the way you've called people to lead this congregation in the past. And now as we look to the future for Doug and Gail, and I just pray that your grace, your power, your strength would be upon them. You would give them courage. You would help them to understand the scriptures. They can be faithful to you and effective in leading this congregation. Through Christ we pray. Amen.